Joseph.
In brightest day.
In blackest night.
Crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and hear the lamentation of the women.
Welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting on 93.3 CFMU FM, McMaster Radio, and we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com. I am Walter Duralia, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your gamma radiation.
Hulk smash through world of comic book.
Nicely done,
Chris. Do you like that? Yeah.
Yes.
Like that? That's a little ad lib in there, yeah.
Yeah, overacting is what I call it.
Well, you know, it's what I do best. But what I do best isn't very pretty.
We're the best at what we do. But what we do isn't very pretty.
That's right. That's right.
Like this radio show.
Oh, come on. I wouldn't say we're the best at that. But you are right that it isn't very pretty.
All right, Chris. Well, listen, it is Wednesday.
Yes.
Wednesdays always bring us together.
Our favorite day.
Yeah, to celebrate a new comic day.
Celebrate. It's like a little holiday in the middle of the week, isn't it?
It's Christmas once a week.
It really is, yeah. Isn't it? Yeah.
And, of course, every single local comic book store worldwide is getting their comics today. They're out on the shelves. They're gleamingly new.
And all the fans are coming into the store bright-eyed and bushy-tailed.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
With wondrous tales of new comics that they're going to be reading.
You know what? It's anticipation.
It is.
It's like that old ketchup commercial. It's anticipation. People have read that last issue of...
Batman.
Okay, thank you, Batman. And they just can't wait to see what's going on this week.
I was really hoping you'd talk a little bit more about the ketchup commercial.
Okay. Listen, Chris, new this week. Oh, look at that. We have for a, I think, what is this, water? Yeah, this is water. We're using our first new this week as a coaster, people.
Yes.
The first up is, of course, Chris, you're going to read our sponsor.
Okay.
We have to get paid for this, right?
Absolutely. So our sponsor, yes. New this week is brought to you by Fett Bounty Hunting. If you need a scruffy-looking Nerf herder picked and brought back to you for corporal punishment of some sort, please look no further than Fett Bounty Hunting. Please, no specific disintegrations upon signing contract.
Nice. Nicely done. The first book we're going to discuss in the new this week segment. Sorry,
I was just going to say. Well, there's actually I didn't want to talk about all of them, but this is part of the Flashpoint series that we're going to talk about. Lois Lane Flashpoint, but there's actually four Flashpoint titles coming out this week.
Four this week.
Yeah, there's the regular. I have it somewhere here. There's the regular Flash. There's the reverse Flash, not the regular Flash.
The reverse Flash. That's the one that runs backwards.
Well, yeah, kind of, but not. Not really. No.
Okay.
And then there's Lois Lane, and there's just so many Flashpoint titles already. I'm already getting bored of it.
You're already Flashpointed out.
I am. I really am.
Okay.
But
well,
I thought this one was kind of interesting.
Well, I'm looking at it right now. I have it in front of me. Lois Lane and the Resistance.
Yes.
Remember Clouseau in the for the Pink Panther when the Russian spy, the girl, thinks that Clouseau, she's in bed with the Egyptian spy Omar Sharif, but it's really Clouseau,
right?
And she goes to him, "So you were in the Resistance, tell me, Inspector, was it hard for you in the Resistance?" And he goes, "Yes, but not as hard it is as it is right now."
Anyway. Nice.
All right, where were we, Chris?
I don't know. I get so distracted to be talking about things like that.
Lois Lane and the Resistance, number one.
Yes.
First issue of three, Flashpoint. And, of course, Flashpoint is that big, huge, multi-gamma DC event that you and I know nothing about, right?
Right, of course. But I think we figured it out. We and I were talking earlier before the show And we've somehow come up with this idea that it seems like Flashpoint is going to be... This is actually the beginning of the end. It was basically what we're talking about.
Flashpoint is the wrap-up.
Yes.
Flashpoint is tying all the loose ends together in the old DCU,
but it's
making way for the new DCU.
Well, kind of, but not really, because all these stories are all about sort of like, you know... They're all new, like it's a brand new universe. It's sort of introducing the new...
Okay, so it's the same... But it's different.
Different, right.
Thank you.
And then, of course, we're going to have the new ending of the DCU anyway, so it's not really going to matter, right? Because they're doing a whole reboot.
So I'm basically back to square one, not understanding what Flashpoint is about.
Yeah, that's the way it goes.
So we have, obviously, Lois Lane.
Yes.
Now, you are a DC guy.
I sort of, yes.
Are you going to read this?
Probably not.
Thank you.
I did flip through it, and I saw that there was... Lois Lane is like a spy, and then Artemis shows up, and I don't know. It looks kind of terrible.
All right.
I'm not trying to be mean to it or anything, but, you know. But okay. Let's move on.
Let's move on. Let's talk about Dark Horse Presents, number two.
Yes. Now, this has the Neil Adams storyline called Blood.
Blood, yeah. It's got Neil Adams' Blood.
Yeah.
Now, I think Dark Horse Presents is an anthology series.
That's right, yeah.
Where they try a whole bunch of different, 10, 12-page stories, 8-page stories, whatever.
Like that, yeah.
And this is Dark Horse's way. They did this before. This is Dark Horse's way of seeing what's going to be popular.
Right. You know, I mean, this is what they kind of started out with years ago, Dark Horse Comics Presents. And that's how, you know, Sin City premiered in that. And, what should we call it? Concrete. And, these other kinds of, you know, popular titles, rather. And they're sort of hearkening back to those same stories. But I'm wondering, are they trying to get the same readership that of the people that bought it, you know, 20 years ago? Is that what they're trying to get at
here? Yeah, that's a good question. Is like, are they trying to replicate or make history repeat itself?
Because the thing
is, it can't, right?
No.
Because it's a different time.
Right. But as I'm flipping through it, there's not a whole lot of new artists in this thing. Like,
right.
Or a lot of not very much, you know, I'll call it avant-garde kind of storytelling. Like, you know, when Sin City was first in Dark Horse Comics Presents, it was sort of a new way of telling stories. Nobody ever seen Frank Miller do art like that before. Whereas now it's just, well, it's all stuff we've kind of seen before. So I don't know. I'm just, you know, even Neil Adams, like, you know, I've seen Neil Adams stuff before. So how new is it really?
Yeah, you know what? You have a good point there. Dark Horse Presents going to Neil Adams and putting Neil Adams's blood prominent on the front cover is kind of, you know, the wrong statement to make for an anthology series. It's like, hey, here's an old dinosaur, you know, brilliant old dinosaur, mind you, and everything.
Yeah.
But hey, you know, here's some of the old, as opposed to, hey, check out, you know, this young kid
who's doing great stuff
from Kansas, doing great stuff or something like that.
Yeah.
And
I want to point out, though, you know, on the cover it says Neil Adams's blood. Now, I'm not an English major, but I always thought that when, you know, somebody's name ended with S, it was just an apostrophe S after the S.
That's a good point.
And no S after the apostrophe. On this comic, it has, you know, Neil Adams, so S and then apostrophe and then another S.
Right.
So is that like a spelling mistake?
I think this may be the 1 in 1,000 misspelling variant.
I'm just asking. I don't know the answer.
I'm putting it up on eBay tonight.
All right. So, finally. Sorry, not finally. We got two more to go here.
Yeah, we got two more to go.
We got Secret Avengers number 14, Fear Itself. Now, you know what? I flipped through this earlier. I had a quick read, and it was actually really nice looking. You know, the art is great. It's got a story about Valkyrie and Odin and meet, and, you know, it kind of ties in with the whole Thor thing going on, like not now, but I mean the whole frenzy about Thor and all that kind of stuff lately because of the movie. And I thought it was a really well done little story. You know,
The whole Avengers, first of all, the whole Avengers, Marvel, I don't know when, say 2 years ago or whatever, or 3 years ago, they seem to have focused on the Avengers being kind of their core title.
Yeah, which is a good idea.
Yeah, and it's worked really well for them. New Avengers, Secret Avengers, and it's a concept that has caught on.
Yeah,
Avengers titles per se are always Marvel's top-selling titles. You know, here and there you get some, you know, anomalies and stuff like that. But the Avengers titles are strong for Marvel.
Yep.
And like you say, I mean, I'm opening it up and I see like a robot with the Nazi swastika on it. I want to read this right away.
Yeah, it's a great little story, you know. And I agree with what you're saying, because you know what? For so long in the 90s, it seemed to be really X-Men and Spider-Man centric as far as Marvel's going. And now all of a sudden they've turned to the Avengers, and I think it's a great idea, because there are so many different characters in the Avengers. It's not going to get nearly as tired as quickly as those one-offs with Spider-Man would have. Because for a while there, they were trying to make Spider-Man the main guy, and every storyline kind of revolved around him with the spider armor and all that kind of crap.
Chris, speaking of Spider-Man.
Yes. Oh, hold on. We're not there yet. Hold on.
Oh, we're not?
We got one more to talk about here.
We do?
Yeah, we've got Cars 2, number one.
Oh, okay. Cars 2. You're right. This is my pick, my kids' pick of the week.
This is the Walt and Chris's kids' pick of the week.
Oh, our pick of the week. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
The nerve of me.
I know. You're cutting my lawn here a little. That's all right, though. But, so Cars number two, Cars 2 number one. And, of course, we've got the new Cars 2 movie coming out this weekend. And that, of course, is a Disney-Pixar tie-in type thing. And you know what? I think it looks like a great movie, and it's going to be a great property.
Well, you know what? What I like about that is it's a perfect example of the borrowing of mediums, like how movies have borrowed from comic books. Well, Cars obviously was a Pixar movie first, but it seamlessly adapted into comic books. At our shop on the weekend, parents pick it up. The kids love it.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree.
All right, Chris, that brings us to the main event of the evening.
Well, I thought we were a musical interlude?
No.
Oh, right. You're absolutely right. I forgot.
Right.
Yes.
I hold in my hand the last envelope.
Drum roll, please.
Yes.
So this is...
I hold the ultimate Spider-Man. No.
Yes.
I don't hold that. I hold the ultimate Death of Spider-Man, issue number 160.
Of Ultimate Spider-Man.
Oh, right. Ultimate Spider-Man, issue 160, Death of Spider-Man.
Yes.
It's in a black poly bag.
Yeah, I wonder where they got that idea from.
And it has like a red spider on it.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to give you the honors.
Oh, boy.
Of cracking this baby open.
Oh, okay, hold on. So I feel like I'm back in 1994, I don't know, whatever it was, when Death
four.
Of Superman occurred. So here I'm opening up the bag here. Hold on.
Oh, okay. Nicely
okay,
done.
Hold on. Okay, there we go. Okay. So I'm going into the vault now and
he's pulling it out.
On the air.
Careful with that thing.
There you go. Okay, so lo and behold, Spider-Man's on the cover. And, we don't know. Do we want to give a spoiler away here?
No, we're not going to give a spoiler alert. It is Wednesday, the first day that it's coming out. Just because people are riveted to everything you and I say, and they won't be able to turn off while you do the big reveal. So just have a look and tell me who killed...
Who
kills Spider-Man, whether he dies or not. It's the death issue.
Well, I can't tell you that. That's like, you know, I don't want to tell people on the air.
Don't. Is he off, or can you tell?
He looks like he's dead, but then it looks like there's somebody else standing. Then it says the end, so it's very possible that
it's very kind of gray, isn't it? It's very kind of, who knows?
Yeah, I think he's dead, but, you know, who knows?
Right.
I've heard people come back to life in comics.
Get out.
Yeah, I've heard that. So it's very possible.
Okay, we're going to end new this week there. Ultimate Spider-Man 160, Death of Spider-Man, available at your local comic book shop, as all the issues we talked about, and of course a plethora of others.
Myriad.
Head into your local comic book store today and check out all the new this weeks.
All right, well, here we go. Here's a little bit of the old Vanilla Ice from TMNT. I thought you might enjoy a little bit of that.
Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go ninja, go ninja, go. Go, 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 go. Green machine, gonna rock the town without being seen. Have you ever seen a turtle get down? Slamming and jamming to the new swing sound. Yeah, everybody let's move. Vanilla is here with a new jack groove. Gonna rock and
control the place with the power of the Ninja Turtle face. Iceman, you know I'm not playing. Devastate to show what the turtles are saying.
Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja, ninja, rap. Ninja, ninja, rap. Go, 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 go. Go, ninja, go, ninja, 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 go. Go, 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 go.
Lyrics, fill in the gap. Drop that bass and get the ninja rap. Just feel it. If you know what I mean, give it up. For the heroes in green, just flowing. Smooth with the power, kicking it up hour after hour. Cause in this life, there's only one winner. You better aim straight, you can hit the center. In it to win it with a team of four Ninja Turtles that you got at the door. It's
Ninja, Ninja Rap. Ninja, Ninja Rap. Ninja, Ninja Rap. Ninja, go ninja, go! Go ninja, go ninja, go! Go ninja, go ninja, go! Go ninja, go ninja, go!
Yeah, boy.
Wow, that's all you have to say about that?
There's a flashback to the song that I really didn't like when it came out.
I was given a little note here saying that that's actually from the movie Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze.
Wow.
I don't know what else to say about that.
Yeah, we'll leave it there.
All right.
Family-rated show. Chris, it brings us to industry news.
And I am extremely excited about our first segment of industry news.
You are?
I absolutely
okay,
am.
Okay, good.
And you know why?
Why?
We'll let the audience guessing, but you know why.
Okay, I do know why. Yes, I do. Well, first let me get to the sponsor.
All right, okay. Okay.
Industry News is brought to you by Purple Pants. So awesome, even the Hulk can't fully destroy them.
Awesome. I love it.
Isn't it?
That is awesome, yeah.
All right. Chris, now let's dive into Industry News.
Okay, we're diving in.
100 bullets.
Is that what we're talking about? Talking about the other thing.
The Spider-Man that we just talked about?
We didn't talk about the Turn Off the Dark.
Oh, no, the Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark is a story that it's actually in the industry news a little bit later.
Oh, sorry, I'm wrong.
That's
I'm
okay,
right,
Chris.
I'm
that's okay. Oh, you know what?
I
made the mistake this week, people, of giving Chris some notes.
Okay, we'll talk about that
and
later.
He read ahead of himself. So
I'm sorry. I got a little too excited.
Listen, 100 bullets. Okay. Now, what's his name?
Brian Azzarello.
Probably the first great kind of crime series that really, you know, I think it really inspired, say, Ed Brubaker's Criminal and all that kind of stuff.
I mean, we can't say so for sure, but it's a long-running crime series that, you know, was groundbreaking in storytelling.
It's what the Vertigo imprint was made for,
absolutely,
really, from DC, and it was a really, really great run. Eduardo Rizzo
did the artwork,
and it was just really well-received, hard, gritty, all that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, great idea.
So I guess it's been optioned for a Showtime series.
That's awesome. For television, yeah.
Yeah,
that's great.
For television. Yeah. Showtime being cable, they can go...
They can do things a little more raunchy, a little more hardcore, but I mean, not like, you know, X-rated or anything, but they, you know, Showtime does stuff like Trailer Park Boys, right? So there's a little bit of swearing, there's a little bit of, you know, just a little bit harsher.
Right. Right. Well, and you're going to need that if you're going to portray the whole 100 Bullets world
absolutely
faithfully to the book.
And you know what? I like who's on board as far as the creative people, as far as producing. David Goyer, who co-wrote all three of the Christopher Nolan Batman movies and all the three Blade movies. And he's also doing the upcoming Man of Steel. So he's actually been around comic book movies for a while. So he has a good feel for what comic book movies
are. Yeah, Christopher Nolan, you know, great. Listen, he did the Batman movies. He's doing the upcoming Steel. I would leave the last couple of Blade movies off my resume.
But you know what? Number one was the first one was really good.
Right.
And it's okay. David Goyer, by the way, not Christopher Nolan.
I'm sorry. David Goyer. I'm sorry. That's what I said, isn't it?
No, he said Christopher Nolan.
Okay. I would leave the last couple of Blade movies off my resume. Okay.
Two wasn't terrible.
It wasn't?
No.
Okay.
Three, I'm not a big fan of three, but you
right.
know.
All right. Anyway.
Anyways.
So yeah, that's good.
There's a much bigger point here that I need to know. Does this mean you actually saw comic book movies?
Listen, I seen the first Blade movie.
You saw the first Blade movie?
I saw the first Blade movie.
Yeah.
And then I've seen or saw, I don't know what to say now.
I have saw
saw the segments of the part two on TV, and it was so terrible that I didn't saw the whole thing.
Nice.
All right.
Fair enough.
Leave me alone, will you?
Sorry.
All right.
Okay.
Listen. Let's move on.
Yes.
Great news. Great news. They've counted, I guess. They had a couple. You know those guys? You know those baseball umpire guys? You know, that they stand at the door and they click the counter when people walk through a door?
The baseball umpires stand at the
door. You know the baseball?
I know what you mean.
Yeah, the umpires, they have that thing they hold in their hand and they click every time you walk by or something.
Yeah.
Well, I guess they had those people posted at every comic shop on Free Comic Book Day.
Right.
Because they counted up that they think that over 1 million people.
That's fantastic.
Visited local comic book stores on Free Comic Book Day, making it the most successful attended Free Comic Book Day yet.
Right. And that is awesome. I can't argue with figures, right? You just can't argue with figures. However, what I'm going to ask is not those kind of figures.
Oh.
What I'm going to ask is how many of those 1 million are going to come back again to buy something?
Well, you see, Chris, that depends on your local comic book shop. Now, you and I on this show championed the event itself, and a lot of shops, they went all out. They spent money. They got creators. They spruced up their shop. They ordered extra stuff. They really tried to impress. And you figure that there's, I don't know, I think the last estimate was 2,500 or so shops in North America.
Okay.
And over a million. That's 400 plus average attendance per shop, right?
Okay.
Which is nice, which is you know, a busy day.
Well, but your store had like 1,000.
But there's probably stores that had 2,000-3,000, right?
But that means that somebody's got like zero.
No. What it means, I think, was that guys that maybe see 10-12 people on a Saturday might have seen 50.
Oh, okay. Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's great news for the industry. And I honestly think, this is my opinion, if you asked me 5 years ago, Free Comic Book Day, the percentage of stores that impressed versus last Free Comic Book Day, the percentage of stores that impressed,
right.
I'm going to say that last Free Comic Book Day, the percentage of stores that impressed is way higher.
Because
our industry is changing. Local comic stores are catching on. They are adapting. They are offering incredible services that you don't get at the big box stores and stuff like that. So,
I like these percentage figures here, where it says 71.83% say of the stores rated the experience as extremely positive, and it kind of goes down from there. But I mean, it's a huge drop from to the next one, where it's 14% saying it was somewhat positive, and then blah 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 blah. But then only less than 1% of the stores polled said it was extremely negative.
Right.
So
right.
I think that's great news for the stores and for what had actually occurred that day.
Right. So I think it's super news. I'm looking forward to next year's event, and so let's move on.
Yeah.
The Diary of a Wimpy Kid. These are some people don't call them graphic novels because of the stick art.
Yeah, it's kind of.
Those guys have never read Johnny Ryan comics.
Wow, and I hope whoever is reading Diary of a Wimpy Kid doesn't read Johnny Ryan comics anytime soon.
Right.
Because they're in for a world of shock.
I meant art-wise.
But you know what? I got to say, I love Johnny Ryan. I love his stuff, and I'm actually one of his biggest fans.
Okay.
However, having said that, it's not for everybody.
Right. But my point is of course it's a graphic novel. It
has pictures
illustrations
and words together.
Yeah, and pictures and words together. It's sequentially presented.
Yes.
Well, the great news is the next Wimpy Kid, 6 million copies will be printed in the first printing.
That's awesome.
Yes.
That's 6 million.
Six million.
I don't know of very many graphic novels that have 6 million copies printed ever.
I think the last one was the last Tintin album in France there 3 years ago or wherever it was. I think it had a 6-7 million print
but
run.
Are there like, oh yeah, okay. I can imagine like maybe like the Asterix and Obelix, Tintin. But are there any mainstream North American creations that have gone to 6 million printings? I mean,
well, you know, well, probably the last one was that the X-Men one, the new X-Men launch, Jim Lee
back
X-Men,
in like
back in
the
90s or whatever, yeah. Where I think there was 7 million, but it had, you know, seven different covers,
right,
and they're
right,
all kind
right,
of gimmicks
okay.
and stuff like that. Whereas this is, the great part I see in this is, who's reading Wimpy Kid, right? There's 7-year-olds yeah. to what, 12, 13-year-olds.
Yeah, that's right.
These are kids that are enjoying this format. This is a great opportunity to, you know, introduce kids. And again, I'm saying that Wimpy Kid is close enough to your classic graphic novel in order for them to seamlessly jump over into a
yeah,
graphic
well, absolutely.
Novel. Right.
Absolutely, yes, for sure. I agree.
So
I think
so,
it's awesome.
Yeah, and it's great, great news. All right, Chris, we're going to talk about the Schuster Awards.
Yes, it occurred in Calgary this year. I am a sort of a member of sorts of the Schusters.
Yes, you are.
Yeah,
and
I couldn't make it to Calgary, unfortunately.
I was going to ask, did they fly you all expensive paid?
I did not
all
go.
Expensive paid.
All expensive paid? No, yeah. I did not go. I would have liked to have gone, but, you know, just work and other things just get in the way, right? So, you know,
right.
This is the way it goes.
Okay. So,
somebody has to be here to do the show.
I understand. Yeah. So the winners have been announced. That we're not going to go over the whole Schuster Awards. You and I are both, obviously you're a member, but
yeah.
I also feel strongly and support the whole Joe Schuster committee.
For sure.
Rob Haynes and Kevin Boyd, they're doing great work to promote everything Canadian in the comic book industry, Canadian
yeah.
creators, Canadian publishers, Canadian retailers, all just Canadian talent in the field.
Yeah, absolutely.
So they were out in Calgary at the Calgary Con making these announcements, and I thought you and I would maybe just go over a few of the winners.
A great idea. You know, I'll start with saying the outstanding comic book artist was Francis Manapul. And, of course, he's known for his work on The Flash, Adventure Comics, Batman, Superman, Batman, lots of great stuff. And so I think it's fantastic that he got that.
All right, that's good. Outstanding comic book cartoonist was won by... I guess it's called Tin Can Forest, which is Pat Suchuk and Marek Kolek. I guess
yep,
that's their
yep.
kind of company name
yep.
For their Baba Yaga and the Wolf
yes.
Little mini graphic novel there.
Yeah,
so.
And that was actually done by Koyama Press, who I'm gonna quickly skip one here. And Koyama Press was won for Outstanding Comic Book Publisher,
which is great.
Yeah.
It's great that we have somebody other than Fantagraphics,
yeah,
you know doing a great work, right?
Fantagraphics, and you know, there was also Drawn and Quarterly.
I'm sorry, yeah, right.
And Kids Can Press, which I don't think they've actually won yet, but man, they in my opinion, they really should,
right?
So there's,
right.
there's a bunch that are up there, but you know what, Koyama Press did a really great job, and even more so though, they really were trying to get new artists and new creators out there and spreading the word, and they're just really all about art. And as it says here, it's all about art, books, and connecting people.
Right. Oh, very
so,
good. Very good.
And we also missed outstanding comic book cover artist was Fiona Staples for Mystery Society, Deviate, Gods and Monsters, Acts of Violence, an anthology of crime comics, Magnus Number One. So lots of great comics and covers for her.
Okay, we'll move on. Hey, Gene Day Award, which is always a popular award.
One of my favorite, actually. Yeah.
Gene Day Award went to John Martz. I guess Heaven All Day was the...
Yeah, you know what?
The project that he worked on.
It's a really great, wonderful story. I read most of it online, and actually I read the whole thing, but I don't remember if I read it all online or not. But I read the whole thing. It's a really great little story. Really well done. I highly recommend people to search it out and read it.
All right. And I also wanted to honor the Harry Kramer Award for the Outstanding Comic Book Retailer. Our show champions the local comic book shop, and what better thing to highlight than the Joe Schuster winner, the Harry Kramer Award winner for, I won't say Canada's best comic book store, but it's definitely a recognition of the work they're doing to promote comics,
yep.
to promote
yep.
Things. And that
now, of course, now hold on. So I think, should we talk about why it's Harry Kramer?
Oh, yeah, of course. Harry Kramer was the founder of Now and Then Comics in Kitchener, Ontario. I believe Harry Kramer was the second comic book store in Canada next to Captain George in Toronto.
Right.
But Captain George had a short history. Harry Kramer went, basically had a successful store till his death in the early 2000s.
Yes, yes. Unfortunately,
you know what? I don't even remember when Harry passed, but
I don't know exactly.
It was at least a decade ago.
But I mean, here's a guy that started the comic book store in the 70s.
71, I believe, right. And he epitomized, the great Canadian comic book shop. Yeah. And Harry, I remember going to him in the late 80s, and he had, Tintins and Asterix, Obelix, and Lucky Lukes. And I go, what the hell is this, right?
Yeah.
And, he was educating everybody.
Yeah, even back then. Yeah.
And I'm very pleased to announce that Planet BD, is that how you say it?
Yep,
Planet
that's right.
BD,
yep.
They're in Montreal, Quebec, and they are the recipients of this year's Harry Kramer Award. So congratulations to those guys out there on the excellent work that they did.
And so finally, we should also mention that there are two Canadian Comic Book Creator Hall of Fame inductees this year. We've got Chester Brown, who has been doing a lot of work for Fantagraphics for many years now. And he did a lot of the independent kind of comics. I can't even think of all the ones that he's done.
No, Chester Brown, if you went into The Beguiling in Toronto, which is, a great comic book shop.
I think Ed the Happy Clown was one of them, and he did Louis Riel.
Yep. Yeah, Chester Brown did a lot of, he's iconic Canadian independent creator is what Chester Brown is, and well-deserved of the, and he's still very active.
Oh, yeah.
I think he's just turned 50 maybe recently, and he's still very actively producing and stuff like that. And, of course, the second one is Todd McFarlane.
Yeah, fantastic. Really, here's a guy that revolutionized the way comics were done back in the early 90s, revolutionized Spider-Man, the character itself, and one of the founding members of Image Comics as well. And great to see these guys inducted into the Hall of Fame.
You're right. McFarlane's Spider-Man run is very, very collectible even
absolutely,
today.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, speaking of Spider-Man, I got a little spectacular Spider-Man soundtrack going on here. And pardon me, I think this is from the old cartoon series.
Yes, spectacular. Spectacular Spider-Man.
In case you weren't too sure what the title of that series was, it's Spectacular Spider-Man.
Right. Okay, let's keep moving, Chris. We have so much industry news to pass on to the listeners.
All right. Well, are we going to have our sponsor?
I think, go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, we will continue the industry news sponsorship.
All right. Well, our next segment is brought to you by Green Lantern Nightlights. Turn your blackest night into the brightest day with our brand new line of nightlights available at better shops everywhere.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
Nicely done. All right. Chris, we're going to continue with industry news. And here's a good news. I actually read this yesterday. Robin has officially been put into the Batman Arkham City video game.
Yes. Now, I know you're not a big Batman – or sorry, not a big video game fan. But luckily enough for you, though, I am. And I went online today and I was checking out the new Robin character. Now, unfortunately – he's not a character you can play throughout the regular story of the game. He's a character you can play in what there's like, and once you finish the game, there's like these challenges and there's little kind of things that you can do. So he's one of those kind of characters. So you can't actually play him during the regular story. Unlike you get to play Catwoman and or Batman as well. Of course, you can play Batman as well. But so he's not going to be like a regular character. You can just sort of switch into playing throughout the regular type of game.
Right.
But you know what? He does look very cool in from what I've seen so far.
Excellent. So Robin in Batman Arkham City.
Yes.
And it's funny with Robin is our shop carries a lot of toys, like Batman toys and Superman toys. So, you know, we're always like, you know what? There's a new classic Superman figure, right?
Right.
And so
right,
we
right.
get like 20 of them or 30 of them. Yeah. We're going to last a year or so. Because there's always somebody, you know, my husband loves Superman.
Yeah.
You have a Superman.
I'm looking right? for a Superman figure. Yeah. Do they still make those?
Right. So, believe it or not, one of the most talked about, requested figures that we never have.
Is Robin?
Is Robin.
Really?
Yeah.
People actually ask for Robin?
Hey, do you have a Robin?
Really?
Right? Yeah.
No.
Yeah, that's exactly. A... that's what I said, right?
Yeah, really? So, Robin?
Robin. Huh. So,
You know what? I will say that back...
I say.
There's a little shout-out for you there. Back when I used to manage a comic book store, this is like, 40 years ago.
Right.
I remember there was actually characters that, you know, Robin was their favorite character.
Right.
They would come in and they'd say, what have you got for Robin this week? And I'm like, pulling at my shirt collar a little bit here. Not a whole lot for Robin going on.
Right, right. And things haven't changed yet. People still like Robin.
Well, it's good. That's great.
All right.
That's great. Okay. But you know what? Speaking of video games, it turns out that... digital downloads represent 24% of video game sales.
I read that. So what they're saying is the money coming in from video games worldwide, a quarter of that is downloaded off the internet.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Right.
That's crazy.
So that's high. Well, it's getting higher. It was 20% last year. Yeah. It's 24%. That's the 2010 figure.
I think because it's getting easier and people are becoming more familiar with the whole downloading thing, right? Like they don't mind putting their credit card online. They don't mind doing all that kind of stuff because now people are just doing it all the time. And I think, you know, the newer, younger generation of people who are involved in video games and computers who kind of grew up with it and can't imagine a world without a computer, they're very used to this kind of thing, so they don't mind downloading this stuff.
Now, you and I talked a little bit about this before the show, Chris, and we likened it to, let's say, the music industry.
Yeah.
We also likened it to comic books and whether comic books are going in that direction and magazines. And I still see a distinction because what happens is, and this you can read this as the optimistic comic shop guy or whatever, but when you're consuming music, you're consuming it through your little, earbuds.
Right.
Right? It's irrelevant where you got that music. Because the end consumption is the same whether you went to a CD place and put it on your little Sony Walkman or Discman.
Right,
or whether you downloaded it on iTunes and stuff like that.
Okay, fair enough.
Into your earbuds, it's the same.
Right.
Playing a video game on your home console or whatever you call it, it's, again, irrelevant whether you went to EB Games or whatever the heck these game stores are called.
Okay,
or you downloaded it.
Yeah.
Because the actual playing of it is still on that little handheld thing and on your screen,
right?
Where magazines and comic books and newspapers, I guess, differ. The magazines, especially, and comic books, especially, is the method of consumption of them is totally different digitally than it is when you go into like a bookstore or a comic shop. But, you're holding it in hand; it's right. tangible. You cannot, you know, plug in your little ear things and read a comic.
And, people probably thought the same thing about records.
No.
Well, sure they did. They went to the record store. They picked it up. They looked at it, you know, all that kind of thing. They collected it.
How is that
different now?
Well, it's absolutely different because the consumption of the music is through your ears.
Yeah, but people still collected records.
No, I'm not talking about collecting comics, Chris. No. Collecting comics is irrelevant right now. It's the consumption of comics. It's the getting enjoyment of the reading of the comic
book. So why can't you do that online?
Because it's a totally different experience.
I don't think it is.
Of course it is.
I don't know.
Think about
that.
It's a totally different experience.
I think it is for guys like you and me, but I think
maybe
that
you might be right. I don't know.
I think that there's a generation that is upon us that whether they read it in person in their hands in a form of a newsprint or whether they get it in their iPad and they read it that way, I don't think there's going to be any difference.
I think there's a distinction there, though. I think that the acceptance of reading it through your iPad will increase as the newer generation
Absolutely,
of kids
yeah.
to come.
Yeah.
But the experience is still different, right? Now, listen.
I don't know if it is for a younger generation.
Well, I don't know. I mean, think about this. I know I want to listen to Led Zeppelin IV, you know, because I'm an old-timer, right? So I have two options. To go to one of the few record stores that's still around and buy a CD.
Right.
Or to go online and download it through iTunes or whatever like that. The end of the day, though, I am listening to that record through some sort of earbuds, and I'm enjoying the music.
Okay, so...
I can't make the distinction of where I purchased that product.
Right.
Okay? Now, if you're telling me... I mean, I know the acceptance of the thing is different, but if you're telling me to get my iPad 2... and leaf through a comic book is exactly the same as holding a comic in your hand, flipping back and forth, turning it over, ripping it, doing whatever you can. It's absolutely a different experience.
I agree. However, I think that the acceptance of reading a comic either way for the younger generation is going to be the same.
Fair enough. But again, I guess my stressing here is the experience is different.
I don't think that we're going to be able to say, oh, man, I can't believe you actually download comics. What happened to the old days when we used to pick them up with our own two fingers and flip through them? Like, I don't think that – I think, you know, those days are gone. I don't think there's going to be anything different for that.
Right. I guess, valid point. I think, though,
a lot of people get their news online now.
I think, though, the demise of the comic is short-sighted in a sense, unless the big industries have other plans. It's just like the magazine industry. The magazine industry is actually fighting the online movement because they're playing to that tangible in-hand thing. To, roll it up in your back pocket, take it to the beach, go to the can, whatever. I guess you can bring your iPad to the can too, but exactly.
I hope there's an app for that.
Yeah. Chris, let's keep going.
All right.
What do we got? We got Conan the Barbarian.
Yes. Now, Conan the Barbarian. This is, of course, the new Conan with Jason Momoa.
Yeah. Now, the trailer, there's a trailer coming out. It came out yesterday.
Okay.
It's an R-rated trailer.
Trailer's R-rated.
The trailer is R-rated.
Wow.
So it was great. I watched it. It basically had a bunch of heads being lopped off and kind of a steamy sex scene and all that kind of stuff.
Wow, really?
It kind of... I don't know, because I was kind of nervous about the Conan being a big Conan fan, but it kind of looked really good.
Really? Now, I know you're not only a Conan fan, but you're also a Schwarzenegger fan. How does Jason Momoa stack up to being a Conan?
Oh, you know what? You just have to get past it. One guy, the character, I always say this, the character is bigger than the actor.
I agree.
You know what?
Yeah.
Conan is bigger than Schwarzenegger.
Yeah. After having read the Conan short stories, a few of them, I completely agree.
Right.
The character is way bigger than the actor.
So people just go online, just Google Conan trailer or something. You go Conan trailer and you'll really enjoy it. If you're over 18, by the way.
Yes, make sure you're of the age to watch it.
All right. Chris, let's talk about Green Lantern. People expect us to talk about that this week. Disappointing box office numbers, 52.6 $1.7 million first weekend. You know, pretty good weekend, but since the thing cost $950 million to make or something like that, I think DC's disappointed.
Well, I'm not surprised. You know what? I think it got a little bit of bad press just before it opened, and even as it was opening, I think it got a little bit of bad press as well. A friend of mine who happened to be in California went to go see it, and he knows nothing of comic books. He's not a comic fan. He's never read a Green Lantern. Doesn't know anything about the character. He saw it, and he was not a huge fan. He thought it was a bit of a dud, actually. He thought some of the acting was pretty terrible. He said Ryan Reynolds was great.
Right.
But other than that, it wasn't really a whole lot going on.
Okay, here's the thing. Here's the thing with Green Lantern. Here's the thing. Green Lantern, again, you and I have talked about this before many times on our show, is the superhero concept is a North American concept, really, per se. You know, it was born in North America.
Yep.
It took the greatest hold in North America.
Yeah, for sure.
So when you get a movie like Green Lantern that is so superhero-y, that is so kind of North American buy into the superhero mythos type of thing. You lose that ability, like, let's say, a Pirates of the Caribbean or something like that, to gain good gait internationally.
Yeah.
I don't think that international crowd is going to buy in to the Green Lantern concept, which is as deep into the superhero thing as you can go.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think it limits their international appeal. So
I agree. I think something like Pirates of the Caribbean is kind of international.
Sure, it's pirates,
right?
Right.
Green Lantern, it's superhero-y and it's obscure superhero-y.
Yeah,
right? It's, you know, up until recently he was kind of a B-lister, right? And now all of a sudden he's A-lister, but it's weird character with weird kind of powers to somebody who doesn't know anything about it. I know people that have seen the trailer and have loved all kinds of great other comic book movies and have no desire whatsoever to see Green Lantern.
Right. All right. Let's end industry news there. And let's do a musical segue and take us into the future.
Oh, okay. Well, you're just going to have to hold on one second here because I don't have anything planned.
I am going to recite poetry.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Okay. Hold on. How about, you know what? Let's go with...
I love that.
Here we go.
Pregnant pause.
Here we go.
Yo, Joe!
We'll fight for freedom wherever there's trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe, American hero. G.I. Joe is there.
It's G.I. Joe against Cobra the enemy, fighting to save the day. He never gives up, he's always there, fighting for freedom over land and air.
G.I. Joe.
Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose? To defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
He never gives up. He'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare.
G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe.
I know you love G.I. Joe, don't you?
I do. I love G.I. Joe. He is a real American hero.
He really is. All right. So, sorry, go ahead. You look like you're going
to
say something.
No. I have to read the sponsor for our feature segment.
I don't know if we have a sponsor.
We do have a sponsor, of course. And that is our feature segment is brought to you by Purple Socks. So awesome. Prince wears them on stage.
That was terrible.
Okay.
That was terrible.
All right. Since you read our feature segment sponsor for industry
news.
Well,
we had to read something.
All right. Fair enough.
All right. Fair enough. Keep going. Okay. I mean, our sponsors pay us for this big money.
They do.
Yes.
They do.
Okay.
And of course, we've left probably too little time. We have a list of all 52 new DC releases for September.
So for our listeners that don't know a lot about comics, DC Comics, one of the big two companies, has decided to relaunch and restart everything at number one as of September. In case you're new to the show, we were talking before about how, you know, Action Comics number one, which is, you know, the first appearance of Superman, you know, it went up to issue 900, over 900 issues, is now going back to number one. So they're relaunching and redoing all these comics as of number one coming in September.
Right. So Chris and I are going to, and we actually may need more than this show to do it.
We'll do it in two shows.
Yeah. We're going to go through all 52 quickly, not to bore you to death, and just basically call it a yay or nay, right?
Yeah.
And so we're going to start, we'll start with the Superman universe.
Okay.
And so, we'll go with Action Comics number one, Grant Morrison writing.
And Rags Morales art, doing the art. I'm going to say yay.
So September 7th, of course, Action Comics number one makes me cry, right?
Yes,
because they stopped the 900 thing. But you are right. Grant Morrison writing Action Comics, still a flagship.
Yeah.
I just fear the hallucinogenic acid trip stories that Grant Morrison is going to write about.
Well, you know, I'm going to give him credit. I'm going to see it. Hopefully he can do something with it.
Right. Okay. So Action One, both get a yay.
Yeah. Superman number one, written by George Perez, breakdowns and cover by Perez, and art by Jesus Marino.
Jesus Marino.
Go ahead.
I got to go yay as well.
I'm going to say yay. I like Perez. I like Marino. I'm hoping that they do something great with this.
Superman is such an iconic character. Two, the core titles are safe.
Yeah, okay.
Right. Superboy, number one, written by Scott Lobdell.
Yep.
And art by R.B. Silva and Ron Lean. Comes out September 14th. Superboy number one. Chris.
Okay.
Superboy, I mean, this carried a few titles here and there.
Tough character. Yeah, it's been around for a while, but never really has, doesn't have the staying power. It has like bits and bobs over the years. Okay, Scott Lobdell, writer of the X-Men for a long time. R.B. Silva and Rob Lean are newer on the comic book scene, you know, but I think they're going to do okay with it. I'm going to say yay.
So Superboy, yay.
Yeah.
Right, okay. I think Superboy might last 24 issues.
Okay, but I'm going to say that's a yay.
Is it?
There, okay. You know, so how,
two-year run.
Yeah, Silver Surfer, the original series. How long will that run?
18, and that was considered a failure, though.
Okay.
Just to, you know.
Whatever.
Whatever. Okay, all right.
Fine.
All right,
be that
so
way. See
you,
if
you
I
say
care.
Yay, I say kind of meh. Supergirl won. Written by Michael Green and Mike Johnson, and art by Mahmoud Asrar.
I'm sure you offended somebody with that sort of pronunciation.
I think that is the proper pronunciation. Thank
right.
you. Yep.
Okay. I don't know, but you know, I don't know enough about any of these creators. I've seen little bits and bobs here and there. I don't know. I'm going to say,
Chris. Let me ask you a question. When has Supergirl ever carried a title?
Like 90 issues or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, but that was in an era where, you know, Aquaman made 90 issues.
Okay, okay.
Right?
So I'm gonna say nay.
Nay.
I'm gonna say nay.
I'm gonna say nay too.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Let's enter into the world of Batman.
Oh boy, here we go.
So we got Batman number one.
Yeah. Batman number one by Scott Snyder and art by Greg Capullo and Jonathan Glapion. I'm going to say yay.
Of course.
I'm going to say it's Batman.
It's Batman.
I'm going to say it's Scott Snyder, who is a great writer, and I'm going to say it's Greg Capullo, who did a lot of the cover art for Spawn for many years and in the inside art as well. I don't know who Jonathan Glapion is. I'm sure he must be pretty good, though. But, yeah, I'm going to say yay.
All right. Me too. Detective Comics number one, written by Tony S. Daniel. And art by Tony S. Daniel, Ryan Wynn.
Yeah, I'm going to say yay again.
Of course, yay. Yeah. I think Batman and Detective will be protected by DC.
I think so.
If they wane a little bit, they're going to put better talent or something in there.
For sure.
I think those, they want to continue those as the flagship titles of the whole Bat universe.
Yeah, I agree. Right. I agree. Okay.
How about Batwing number one?
Judd Winnick, people like him. I can't stand him personally, but you know what? People do like him.
He speaks highly of you.
Well, that's awfully nice of him, yeah.
Okay, so Batwing number one is a nay.
I'm going to say nay.
Right. I don't even know who Batwing is.
No.
I think he's, isn't he Todd? No, Batwing is...
It's the Batman of Africa.
Oh, right. I'm thinking Nightwing.
Yeah,
that's why I got screwed up. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I'm
not,
sorry.
It's not Darkwing either.
Right.
Yeah.
So the Batman of he's a T'Challa.
Well, okay, that would be like, you know, the Marvel version, but this is the DC version.
Okay,
so yeah.
Right. So he's the Batwing,
and it's not Wakanda either. It's Africa.
Okay. So I'm going to say nay. Thank you.
I'm going to say nay too.
All right. Here's one.
Batman: The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Number one.
David Finch writing.
Yep.
Art by David Finch and his buddy Richard Friend.
Yeah, I'm gonna say yay on this.
Okay, Batman the Dark Knight, obviously the title itself, Batman the Dark Knight.
Yeah.
Thank you to Frank Miller for iconicizing stance. So you think, that'll be the third title. Actually, you know what, though? The next one, Batman and Robin.
Yes, I think this is going to be good, too.
By Peter Tomasi.
Yeah.
Batman and Robin, I think, how many titles do you think Batman can carry? Like Batman himself, never mind derivatives like Nightwing and Batwing and stuff like that. Easily four.
I think that's probably about it, though.
Right.
You know, I think four is about the limit.
Okay.
But, so this one by Tomasi and our art with Patrick Gleason and Mick Gray, I'm going to say yay only because I really like the creative teams.
Okay. Batgirl number one.
Yeah, okay.
Gail Simone.
Yep.
I got to say yay to Batgirl. I think Batgirl can carry a title.
Yep, and I'm going to say yay as well because I think Gail Simone's a great writer. I don't know enough about Ardian Sayaf or Vincent Cifuentes, but, you know, it's Batgirl, and even more so, it's Barbara Gordon back as Batgirl. And there's a lot of Barbara Gordon fans out there, and I think they can't possibly screw this up. And I'm sure I'm going to eat my words, but I'm going to say it's going to be a yay.
Good call, Chris. Batwoman number one. So they're going with the Batgirl and then the Batwoman.
I'm going to have to say nay on this one.
Right. Okay.
Nothing against J.H. Williams or Hayden Blackman, but you know what? I got to go with nay. I just don't feel it.
So J.H. Williams the III.
Sorry.
Did he play Link on Mod Squad?
I have no idea.
Right. Okay.
I have no idea.
The name sounds familiar. All right. So you're going to say Batwoman number one, nay. Nightwing number one.
Okay.
I'm going to say yay. Kyle Higgins, who I have never read.
Okay. But yet you're saying yay anyways.
But you know what? Nightwing the character. Sometimes it's not about the creative team. It's the Nightwing the character is entrenched. Nightwing has such a strong a fan base.
Absolutely, yes. For sure.
I think Nightwing... can carry his own title is my point.
We'll see. I'm gonna say yay because of the character, only based on the character alone. So
okay, fair enough. Here's another woman, Catwoman.
Yeah, Catwoman by Judd Winnick and art and cover by Guillaume March.
Right.
I'm probably saying that wrong. Oh, sorry.
Okay, so Catwoman, though, she's like so in and out of the Bat universe.
Yeah, she really is.
She's an integral part of the Bat universe. What do we say? I say Catwoman has a good, I don't know, 2-year run again. I think she's in the middle.
I agree. I'm going to say yay for about a year and a half, 2 years.
Right. Okay, Chris, take us to the next one.
Birds of Prey, number one, with Dwayne Swierczynski and Jesus Saez.
Okay, now, I didn't do my homework. Dwayne Swierczynski.
Not Swierczynski, yeah.
Swierczynski, okay. I don't know who Dwayne Swierczynski is.
He's done some work on Cable and Expiration Date.
Okay, so he's been
around a little bit, yeah.
Right.
I don't know. It depends on the take they take on it, but it looks like because this guy's done sort of some mystery comics before, if they do it based on a mystery kind of thing, then maybe they might make it into a detective agency kind of thing.
Right.
I don't know. I'm going to say nay. I have to say nay.
I'm going
to
go against you here and say yay because Birds of Prey, I think what old DC guys are going to look for titles that they recognize and concepts that they recognize and see if the new way of doing them will kind of push some new blood kind of put some new life into the... And Birds of Prey is a very successful DC franchise.
It was, right? but it was successful because it was... Black Canary and Barbara Gordon as Oracle. So I think it's going to be different this time because it's a different team. So I don't know. That's why I'm saying nay.
Okay.
I'm going to say nay.
All right. Okay, and we're going to finish off the Batman universe with Red Hood and the Outlaws. And just reading the cover, I'm going to say nay.
Yeah, you know what? I think it's a little too different. Although I like Scott Lobdell and I like Kenneth Rocafort's artwork, I just don't know if it's going to be... I think it's too much, and I don't think it's going to last.
Right, okay. So you're saying nay.
Yeah.
to Red Hood and the Outlaws. Yes. Okay. So we have to end it there. That is, of course, just the Superman and the Batman universe in the new DC launch in September. Next week, we'll continue with, Green Lantern and all the other kind of stuff.
Wonder Woman and Justice League and all that stuff. We've got lots to talk about. All right. Well, unfortunately, that is all the time we have for today.
All right, yes, Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by James McIntosh. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link, scroll down to the bottom, and add your comments.
And remember, everybody, if you do see a spider, let it bite you. It might be radioactive.
Yes, and please support your local comic book store.
All right, have yourself a wonderful day, and thanks a lot for listening.